The most dangerous place you can be as a trial lawyer is to think you've got it figured out.
I'm still trying to get better. I still have the passion for it. I believe in it.
Everyone can learn to do what I do.
And yet there's a group here that continues to get extraordinary verdicts.
Trial Lawyers University is revolutionizing educating lawyers to be better trial lawyers. It's been invaluable to me.
Trial Lawyers University, where the Titans come to train. Produced and powered by Law Pods.
So, Mohammed,
yes,
my man,
sir.
We just got back a few days ago from TLU Beach 2026. And for, you know, everybody had different experiences there. And some spent more time than others because it's, you know, really covers, if you take actual days, covers 6 days from June 2nd, you know, with the pregame, the pre-party, the dinner party of the night, to June 7th with the brunch. But before that, you came to the boot camp right here in Hermosa Beach. So kind of give us your, tell us about your journey starting with the boot camp.
Well, I feel like Ron Artest, after the Lakers won a championship, he showed up to the Jimmy Kimmel show still in his uniform. That I'm still in the afterglow of the conference because it was, I'm not saying this exaggeratingly, it was the best 10 days of legal everything that I've ever experienced, to the point where I was actually sad when it was over. I was sad. I actually like complained to people because on Saturday, some of the vendors left. And so I called them out on email and they're like, oh, busted. Yeah, we had to go somewhere. I was like, yeah, dude, like, why'd you leave? You know, I didn't want anybody to leave, even the vendors. Like the vendors were cool too, which is weird because normally you get annoyed by vendors at conferences. So it was the best all around every day.
But let's talk about the boot camp that you did beforehand, because you and about a dozen other people did this boot camp. So, you know, for people that haven't done boot camp, what were your takeaways from the boot camp here at Hermosa?
My favorite part about it was we actually worked on a case that's a real case, the trucking case. And so my biggest takeaway was how to bring the case to life with our body, with our hands, with our facial expressions. And even though I've attended it before, I learned how to shortcut it with breathing. Something so simple, but we take it for granted. You know, it's like a centipede that has 100 legs. If it thinks about walking, it freezes and dies, right? But you don't think about it. And so the breathing trick allows you not to think about it.
Well, it's not breathing trick. It's breathing. It's breath training.
Training.
With the delivery of, you know, lines and training yourself to breathe, which is critical because under pressure, we stop breathing, we freeze up. And then if we don't have oxygen, our brains don't function. Things don't function as well when we don't have full oxygen. That's why training the breath is so important.
And then you can, the jury and the whole courtroom will sense the tension and it kind of disrupts the flow of the presentation. So when we see like naturals, quote unquote, they seem like they're just in their environment, in their zone. And so that's what this boot camp kind of helped me develop, is trying to get in the zone so that way it feels natural. It is natural too.
Right. Well, the more you practice it, the less you're going to be thinking, the less stress your body's going to be under, the more consistent and relaxed your breathing is going to be, which is, you know, I mean, it affects your pacing of your language and all that. All these are trained intentional skills that, you know, the best people, they practice. I mean, the best athletes practice every day. The best musicians practice every day. And for people that want to become the best trial lawyers, they need to practice. And the great thing about the boot camp is now I really believe there's something to practice because, you know, we cover what I consider to be the four quadrants of performance and persuasion and trial, which are, you know, witness prep and direct examination, because you got to be able to get the story from your client. If you can't tell the story, the authentic story of what happened, unless you can first get it, and then, you know, you have to help them be able to tell it. And then cross-examination, there's best practices for cross and delivery of it and, you know, the pacing of it. And then performance skills, which are opening statement and closing argument, you know, using the ability to create space, you know, using a real case, you know, with a video and photo, so you understand the story you're telling. And then finally with, you know, voir dire, the jury selection, which I think is the most complex part of trial and requires the most training. And, you know, once people learn the best practices in these areas, then they can practice them. If you don't know what the best practices are, like if you don't never been given a lesson on how to, you know, swing a golf club, and you just go out there and take a club and start beating that ball down, well, chances are the ball is never going to really fly consistently or correctly.
And you're probably going to throw out your back.
That's a possibility too. Which
yeah, because a lot of people use bad form. Not speaking from personal experience, but
bad form.
But you know the analogy that I thought of since we went flying yesterday in TOU Air in your plane yesterday? The plane has 25 different moving parts. You got to look at the air. You got to look at the wind. You got to look at this. It's overwhelming. I was overwhelmed yesterday because it's been years since I flew. And so I was overwhelmed. But then if you break it down by part, the good thing about trial is you can break it down by part. It has 25 moving parts too. You have the judge, you have the jury, you have the defense counsel, you have your own clients, you have the defense experts, you have treating physicians, you got to juggle 25 different things. And what the boot camp does is it says, hey, let's break this down one thing at a time, like witness prep, you know, conveying a story that's vague, right? But it's like, no, this is how you do it. And you broke it down question by question, step by step. And then if you do that over time, when you show up, it'll look like you're doing a whole orchestra with 25 different musicians and they're all in sync. And so that's what I think the best part of the boot camp was. It took every aspect of the moving parts and you're allowed to slow down. Unlike in flying where you can't just sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to focus on the joystick and direction, you know?
I can pay attention to my altimeter, how high, you know, if you don't pay attention to that, you sink. That, actually, it's funny you mentioned that because that's one of the reasons I decided to learn how to fly. Is because it is a very complex mental and physical skill that requires a lot of focus and there's a lot of pressure too. And, you know, so you're learning these skills under a lot of pressure. I mean, actually more pressure in the courtroom because if you, you know, when you, you know, when I finally soloed, I'm up there at 10,000 feet by myself, my whole life in my own hands. It's quite, I mean, you focus like you've never focused before. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you're pilot and you hit a turbulence, you're like, you know, you gotta, it's just like a thing, something to draw. It's like, you can't let it throw you off. You hit turbulence. It's like an objection, right?
And you revert back to your training.
Right.
And, just and if your training is good, then you're going to land the plane and you're going to live to see another day. If not, you got to pull that $1 million parachute on the jet. Yeah,
we're not pulling the parachute if we can avoid
it. We're not.
No, we're flying.
We're going down. We're either going down in flames or we're going to fly because we're going to do the right training.
But then the boot camp, we moved down. We did the first 3.5 days here in Hermosa. And then Sunday we moved down to the Paseo Hotel and did the last couple days there. But then people started arriving on Tuesday, and I think about 25 people went to surf camp on Tuesday with Ed Ceramboli and
shout out to Ed. Suda. That was awesome, Ed.
Oh,
awesome.
You were at surf camp.
Yeah.
What was your favorite parts of surf camp?
Honestly, getting to meet the people.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, that's what it actually what it comes down to too is I was even talking to people about it. I was like, was there something different about this conference in that I think all the people were down to earth, which I didn't meet somebody that was like, get me away from this person. And so even though I love the water, I love the ocean, I love just jumping in the water. I have no idea what I'm doing when I'm surfing. I've been doing it for many years, but I just love being in the water. It was actually the conversations outside the water that were the best.
Yeah, that's a great part. Plus, you know, it attracts similarly crazy people that are going to go jump in that freezing water together. So, you know, you got to know who are the psychopaths when you get to a conference so you know who your people are, right?
Yeah.
And this way we get everybody to identify themselves, bam, like that. And they got there early. You know, they got there on Tuesday, ready to go at 2 o'clock.
Cuckoo.
Right. I mean, people that went and played pickleball, I'm sure they met a lot of new people too, but just not crazy people.
Oh, maybe that's why I didn't hang out with the pickleball people.
Well, because they were
actually shout out to some of the pickleball people. They were cool too. I'm not a pickleball guy.
That's okay, buddy. You're a surf guy. But then after that, we had our first time we bought out the restaurant at the La Rea, and we did our first dinner party, pre-conference dinner party. And, you know, I've never done this before. The most I've ever done it before the conference was having a little get-together in the presidential suite. Sometimes I had 30 people. But we actually had about 360 people show up for this pre-conference dinner party, both attendees and exhibitors.
It was packed.
It was packed. It was overflowing, and I was so excited about it too, because then, you know, we took the time to kind of make design tables with putting different, you know, people, like two people from the same firm didn't sit at the same table. You know, two exhibitors from the same company didn't sit at the same table. And that way just everybody got to meet so many new people. And, you know, I got a lot of feedback. People really love that. How did you like the the Tuesday night dinner party.
Yeah, so that's exactly what happened to me. My table was overflowing, so I went to just a random table and met new people. And then when my partner came, Ray and Michael Carter from Chicago and Santa Monica, there was no room at our table, so I put them at another table, and I had to go pre-meet the people there to warm them up, because Ray and Michael are a little cuckoo.
A little much to handle.
Yeah. And they were so cool. And so I was like, man, I kind of want to sit at this table. So it's like you meet so many people, you literally can't get enough of it, which is weird because I've gone to so many conferences. I don't like to go to lectures anymore, and I don't like to go to it's more of a chore. But this one, there's something different about this one. And I've been to other TLU conferences like New York. This one was head and shoulders the best.
No, I believe that too. I mean, I work hard to improve upon what we did the year before. And I, if you can imagine, I'm already planning 2027.
June 2nd through 5th, 2027. Join all of us back at TLU Beach at the Paseo Hotel. We're going to have more learning and fun than ever before. We're going to have 6 lecture tracks, 8 workshop tracks. We're going to have a golf outing. We're going to have theme parties, dinner parties every night. The Satchel and Wild West party. The 80s tracksuit dinner party, followed by the 80s tracksuit pool party. And finally, we're going to finish it all off with the après-ski rooftop party. So if you want new friends, you want great food, and you want great learning and change your life, join us at TLU Beach.
And I can't wait for that. So I'm excited for the February conference at the Paseo.
That's right. We got another. We're coming back in February with Philip Miller and Joe Fried and Eddie Ceramboli and let's see, Robin Wishart.
Hopefully, she comes back after. I don't know. When I moderated her thing, she was like, "Who is this guy? Who is this guy? This is this crazy guy." Hopefully, that didn't scare her away.
She's pretty tough. I'll check in with her. You know, do a little.
She used to whoop people's butts on the volleyball.
I know. She played professional volleyball
right in front of the Paseo.
I know. And she.
I told her, "You're like white man can't jump. Like you're just hustling poor men that and their egos, destroying their egos and their wallets."
Yep. She did a podcast. You can hear all about.
Yeah.
How she did that to him.
Oh, she was really cool.
Yep. And then after that Wednesday morning, first time we ever did a breakfast. Breakfast that was hosted by my friend Patrick Kang. We had about 250 people at breakfast. It was amazing. The whole restaurant was full. All those people there early getting to know each other, because on Wednesday we only had workshops, and you know it was great because Ben Rabinowitz and Mike Kelly did their cross-examination expert with experts workshop, and then Dirk Vandiver and Randy Sorrells and Shemek Lubecki and Tom Dickerson did a voie dire kind of master class on Wednesday morning. Philip Miller and Ed Ceramboli had a depositions class all day. So I was really stoked about, you know, Wednesday. What did you do on your Wednesday at TLU?
Wednesday?
Well, we had activities that day too. There was golf that afternoon.
Well, Wednesday we did that. No, Tuesday was the surf.
Yep.
Wednesday we did the night.
No, you went go-kart racing, didn't
you? Yeah, I went go-kart racing.
I heard you lost. I heard you were the first.
No.
Zahner told me you were the biggest loser. You lost. No. You were number one out.
No, fake news. Fake news.
Okay,
fake
that's
news.
Not true.
Do you really trust Zahner?
I'm just telling you what he told me.
Zahner's from Denver, dude. Do you trust him?
I know that. I'm just telling you what
the Dragon Slayer.
I know.
Shout out to Kurt Zahner. That was one of the coolest events. And
there was like 45 people there. We had to we had to close registration. There's so many people at the
My second place finish is currently on appeal. Elvis from the Casey Group, dude. It's not over yet. The story is not over yet. Yeah. They gave him like a charity win because his car broke down.
Oh, man. That's
which is fine. I'm in the charity, so I'm okay.
We're always helping the people out. Okay. That's great. So you had put time with Zahner to go-kart racing. That was
That's what we did on Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah. Wednesday. Then we had our Wednesday opening party, and we had the game on for that. And we did that on the patio there with the fire pits, and we had the great band there. Good
cop. That was the crazy thing about this conference, too, is like all the lectures were full. Like I went into a room on a Saturday, a workshop room, and it was full. It felt awkward. I was like,
we're talking about Wednesday night's party, and you're jumping to, do you have attention deficit disorder?
100%.
Okay.
100%. Yeah.
That explains it, folks.
It's 100%.
ADHD Mohammed.
Yeah, 100%.
There we go. That explains it. No,
but Wednesday you expect it to be full, but every event was full. Like even Wednesday, the go-kart, we had to wait for hours. Everything was well attended, which is, that's another thing. I think everyone was committed this time to the conference.
Well, I think getting people connected more and people have friends and people want to hang out, you know, because like it's so hard to make new friends as we get older. And I was, you know, listening to an audiobook, and it said the two most lonely professions are doctors and lawyers, surprisingly, because everybody that we work around either works for us or, you know, are yelling or we're confronting with them, like defense lawyers or judges and the people that are staff. So, you know, who are you really friends with? Your partners? Yeah, but I mean, you have a lot of, and as we get older and more busy with family and work, when do we have time to just make friends? It's real hard.
That's why I encourage people, if you're going to be a lawyer, create imaginary friends early on. They'll stay with you forever. They're loyal, you know?
Right. They won't just get mad at you because you work all the time and you don't talk to them.
Yeah.
And ignore them.
Like, right, Phil?
There you go. That's right, buddy. So then on Wednesday night after that, we had the first poker tournament up in the Presidential Suite, Codes Health. I stopped by there. It's nice people that like to play cards. Got it, you know, 10, 20 people a night playing cards, but also the lobby lounge was pretty lively with a couple of
people. Maybe that's why the conference is so cool. The Presidential Suite, I've never seen a conference with a Presidential Suite. So,
well, that's where you did your workshop.
I did my workshop.
Yep. And then we're going to talk about that. Then Thursday, I mean, I think there was like 600 people, 500 to 600 people every morning for breakfast. And we had live music for breakfast. How'd you like the live music, Tiffany?
Tiffany was excellent. I actually stopped her at the valet because I was shocked that she was getting up so early. It was early. It was like, because we went surfing at like 6, 7 a.m. And she was coming out of her car with her equipment. I go, you're singing again? Like every time I saw her, she was singing, and probably the best singer too, because her voice didn't crack even after, like, I felt like 10 hours a day of singing.
She only sung for 3 hours a day, Mo. Hour and a half in the morning for breakfast, hour and a half for lunch. But I just went, heard her play there. And, you know, at the Paseo restaurant, I was really impressed with her. I'm like, hey.
She's very impressive, yeah. I'm not just saying that. Like, I actually did stop her. I was like, wow, you're incredible. And she said, get away from me, creep. No, I'm just kidding. She was nice. She was gracious.
That was nice of her to be gracious with you, Mo. And so we had the live music for breakfast. And we had, you know, obviously a great turnout for breakfast. And then, you know, this year we had 5 lecture tracks instead of 4, which I was really stoked about because I used one of the smaller rooms, holds like 70 people for a lecture track. And it was really for people who were really first-time speakers, people who'd gone to come to TLU, gone out and actually got verdicts and applied what they learned and got to come back and get on the stage and talk about it. And that room was constantly filled, constantly packed. Which I was really excited about because, you know, with so many big name speakers that come to this program every year, and I expect their rooms to be full, the Panishes, the Freeds, the Satch Olivers, the, you know, the people that are...
The Muhammads.
Hey, your room was solid, yours and Ray.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything you did was, you know, it's really great, too, to see people build a following, too, that speak, you know, like, you know, I remember, you know, Kurt Zahner, when he first started speaking at TLU in 2021... There's barely anybody in his room. Now his rooms are full, and I speak in for a few hours. And his one-day master class on premises had like 35 people in it. And so, you know, that's why, you know, we had all these master classes going too, which I'm really stoked about too, because that way people, you know, like Joe Fried and Joe Cameron Lengo did a master class on trucking. And, you know, unfortunately the room was a little small, you know, because it got kind of hot in there, but I wasn't expecting it to be 30 people in it because, you know, I just wasn't expecting it.
Because those are intensive, like, you have to be using your brain the whole time, kind of classes. And so you expect people to just be like, okay, I don't have the bandwidth for that. But they were locked in. Even up until Saturday, they were full.
Oh, yeah. No,
Saturday afternoon, like basically till the very end.
That was great. And so much great learning. And then you and I are dressed like this because on, you know, Thursday, I mean, what happened on Thursday night, Mo?
Tracksuit party.
80s tracksuit dinner party from 6 to 8. I think we had about 380 people. We're down in there, you know, about 375. Most of them had tracksuits on, probably about 350. The ones that didn't, they got some new TLU swag that, you know, the long sleeve shirts. So it was, and that was a new thing. So as you see, we got these kick-ass hats.
Yeah, these are badass.
Right, but we, you know, we improved our swag game because, you know, everybody likes great swag. And most conferences, you'd be like a cotton T-shirt if they give you anything.
No, yes. TLU definitely has the best way. Even the bags. The bags, I keep those. I collect those. I was actually
I'm glad.
I hope Dan doesn't get upset that I take another bag. And the notebooks. The notebooks.
The notebooks were delayed this year.
But we will get them to people.
Because
they are the coolest notebooks. I keep those too. And my wife doesn't complain. She complains about me keeping stuff like the airlines. I travel a lot. She's like, why do you always bring home these stupid, those toiletry bags? And she's like, but she never complains about TLU swag. She uses them for the grocery store because in California, we're required to take our own bags to the grocery store.
It's a good idea. It's good for the environment, guys. But that's why we provide the TLU swag bag.
And I'm not just saying this. The TLU swag is the only thing that will get people in public, random strangers, to come up and talk to me. They normally try to run for the hills, but they'll come up to me and be like, Trial Lawyers University? Is that like Trump University? I go, no, nope. Fake news.
We're real.
We're real.
People. Delivering value.
Don't scam people.
Delivering value.
But it's actually a conversation starter because it's just cool. The emblem, everything about it is legit Trial Lawyers University.
See that? And then Supio was kind enough to host that party for us. We really appreciate it because it was an amazing dinner party. And then after that was followed up with the first ever 80s tracksuit pool party from 8 to 11. We had the Wayward Sons.
Yeah, I saw people in the pool at night. I was like, what's wrong with these guys?
Yeah, that was me, buddy. That was me. Nice. There were like six of us in the pool. I'm like, hey, people, this is a pool party. But people are a little shy. Get ready for the pool party. So next year, everybody, pool party Thursday night. Bring your bathing suits. Let's go. Let's freaking go, people. And so that band was fucking awesome, the Wayward Sons.
They
fucking rocked it, man.
Yeah, my nephew was jamming out to it. Most adorable tracksuit. He wins that costume.
Okay, well, I don't think I met your nephew, but, you know, we have a...
You did. He had an outfit. He had a little boombox, a little inflatable boombox.
We were
all in with it.
You got to be all in with this thing. Then Friday we had, you know... Friday, we had the Satch Oliver Wild West party. That was a hit. That took some, you know,
Angus beef from his
ranch. That's right, Oliver Angus beef from his ranch. We brought it up here. And
authentic to the core.
Yep, we had a great band that night.
He's a real cowboy, though. His daughter is like a champion horse riding something. I don't know. She showed me the video. I was like,
oh, yeah, buddy,
They're real cowboys.
Oh, yeah,
here.
They got a ranch, bro.
I felt like such a poser because I had my cowboy outfit.
And Satch did a presentation on money, and that was his first time ever doing that. But I got so many great reviews about it because, you know, I went down to his ranch because he invited me down there. You know, because I spent about 12 years on another ranch out there in Wyoming. And so as he's building his, he brought me down there to be giving some insights on how to really make it great. And through those conversations that we also gave me his philosophy on money that he learned from his father and his grandfather, and, on assets and liabilities. And based upon that conversation, it really gave me the courage, to get this house because it was a little uncomfortable, getting a house by the beach. It's a little, obviously, the closer you get to the ocean, they tend to charge you more money.
Shocking.
But shockingly.
So cold.
I know. And it's like the water's cold. I don't know why people want to live around here. But that was really, an impactful conversation for me that changed how I thought about money and assets and liabilities. And, had such a, obviously living here now has an impact on my life. And, it's amazing when you get some information, the right information at the right time, what an impact it can have on your life that you're not even prepared for. And so that was, that conversation for me, and I heard from a lot of people about that presentation and the impact it had on their thinking too. So I was very stoked about that. And, one of the complaints I often get at TLU is that, there's so many great things to see at once. It's like, you suffer from FOMO, and what do I tell them, Mo?
TLU on demand, baby.
TLU on demand, baby. You don't suffer from FOMO. We record it all.
Yeah.
We recorded all of the lectures, all five lecture tracks, all of the master classes, the one by Joe Freed and Joe Cameron Lango. That's available on TLU on demand. The one by...
No joke, I was listening to TLU on demand on the way over here.
Really?
And I was disappointed because it's 2 hours and the drive was only 30 minutes.
So that's okay, but it's still there waiting for you. Yeah. Who are you listening to?
I was listening to Steve King and Dina Buchanan.
Oh, yeah. So on that recent AI stuff they're doing. They're really, you know, Steve, I'm so proud of Steve. He's really into this AI stuff and really developing.
As much as we hear about AI, you kind of get like AI fatigue. So I'm like, do I want another lecture on AI? But then you listen to it and they give you boom, 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 two or three practical things. I literally texted my tech guy and I said, hey, implement this now. So I think that's the difference with TLU is it's one of the few conferences where, like you said, you see students 1 year. Like I was a student for many years and then they're presenting on their big verdict that's like record setting. And people are like, wait, I've never heard of this guy. And it's like, yeah, I was in that chair last year.
No, it's, you know, that's what I tell people.
And hey, seeing the progression.
Right. You come here, you learn, you go to trial, you win, you will find yourself on a stage here at TLU because it's very inspiring too. You know, I think people that have the courage to go to trial need to be celebrated. I think it's very inspirational for others. And my friend Alex Ivanov from Dallas presented, and he's just been killing it. And he's an immigrant from Belarus. You know, he's got an amazing story how he escaped Russia and how the KGB tried to recruit him. But he did a lecture on the spine and all the stuff he's learning and doing. And I mean, that was standing room only, which is amazing to me because, you know, the guy just learned to speak English 6 years ago. And, you know, when I first became friends with him a few years ago, I told him, you know, you got to work on flattening out that accent because you can't be an effective trial lawyer if people can understand what you're saying. And to his credit, he's been working with a language coach for a couple of years and he barely noticed.
Putting in the practice.
Putting in the work.
It's tough. It's uncomfortable as hell.
Right.
Yeah, you know, especially when you have some level of accomplishment. Like you had a lot of accomplishment. You had like badass penthouse in Vegas. And you're like, oh, I'm going to make myself uncomfortable and throw down on a badass beach house in California. You got to put yourself in deep waters and then train. Make sure you're not there by yourself. Train and swim out of it. And then there's nothing more satisfying than that.
Well, it builds confidence too.
Yeah.
You know, then my buddy Michael Stevenson got a $12.5 million verdict on a bicycle case, on a TBI bicycle case. Amazing, just simply amazing what he did there. And he did my boot camp and he's been to the program. And I was just so, you know, I hate to say proud because I feel like, you know, people are proud of their children. And obviously.
And you're old enough to be all our dads, so.
That's true. Luckily, nobody can tell that due to my youthful energy. But true. I, just so many people with, you know, the verdicts they got, and there wasn't enough room on the stages for them all, but we're finding, you know, but we're making room because everybody that goes to trial and wins deserves a spot on a stage. You know, and that's what it's about, right? Is, you know, building trial lawyers.
Building the future generation.
Building the future generation of trial lawyers.
February 18th through 21st, 2027. It's the Philip Miller Advanced Deposition College. Philip is gathering some of the greatest trial lawyers in the country to teach with him, small group format. It's going to be limited to 90 participants. It's going to be back at the Paseo Hotel in Huntington Beach. So if you want to ramp up your deposition skills, get registered today. TrialLawyersUniversity.com.
You know, and it's like the crazy thing is like, everybody's like, oh, this conference is so much better than all the ones. And the thing is like all the other conferences, I'm always an open book to them. I've always offered every organization, especially a lot of state trial lawyers and the AEJ. I'm like, hey, you guys want to run a better conference? This is what I do. This is who I am. I would love to help you. I'd love to improve, you know, the education for everybody. And some people are like, well, why would you help your competition? I'm like, they're not my competition.
You should have a conference boot camp.
Right. I'm collaborating with them and helping get justice for more people. That's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about the plaintiff side. We're more collaborative, I think, because we really do. Speaking of like minds, you know, like-minded people, we really do want to fight the system, and the system is getting crazy right now with Uber and Meta,
Uber,
and all these big companies basically trying to replace everybody.
Right.
I think they wouldn't have a problem with just having 10 billion robots and like humans just sitting there in a room disintegrating, you know.
You know, it's the challenge of this life as things evolve. You know, some people get scared and like try to stop progress, but it is what it is, right? You know, things evolve. You just got to keep working on your skills and make sure that, You know, I talked to so many young lawyers too. We had like 23 law students at this conference that were on scholarship.
They were everywhere.
They were everywhere. They did such a great job. And Noel did such a great job organizing and running them. And so many of them that are still in law school are coming back next year. And there was a lot of returning, you know, quite a few returning law students. But it's just, it's so great because, you know, obviously look at our own lives, and I'm 58 right now. And, you know, had I had those kind of opportunities in law school or some of these young lawyers, first, second year lawyers that are there at TLU, I'm like, you are just so fortunate. Like, if you don't become a great trial lawyer, it's for one reason.
You didn't try hard enough.
You.
Yeah.
You chose not to do the work, because now the work, the knowing what work is there to do is kind of known now, established now. And getting mentors is a lot easier. Just show up and talk to people. You know, the great trial lawyers are there for 4 or 5 days. If you don't make a relationship with them, you don't make connection with them, that's your fault.
And they make themselves available. Even though they're speaking all day, like some guy was telling me about Joe Freedy, set him aside, said, I need 5 minutes of your time, Joe. And Joe said, no problem, you got it. You would think they'd be shelled up in the rooms all day, but they weren't. They were out, like Michael Cowan. All these great lawyers were there for everybody. Philip Miller was the most accessible, and he's like one of the most sought after consultants in the game.
No, he's killing it. And he was so kind because he hosted the closing party on Saturday night, the rooftop party.
The Russian ski party. The Russian winter ski party.
It's called après-ski rooftop party. And I was just...
I don't speak
French. Another thing too, like in the previous 4 years, all the parties were out on the ocean lawn. And this year we moved the party every night. Starting off with a dinner party on Tuesday at the restaurant. Then on Wednesday we did it out on the blue room in the patio. So it was an indoor outdoor party, which is a great vibe. We had the TV, you know, had the game on, the Knicks and the Spurs. So many people that loved the basketball, they got the chance, you know what I mean? People got to find their space. And then
it really is a great venue.
Oh my God. It's like, people are like, you've outgrown. Cause we had over 9
up to it now. Like, cause I went to the other hotels and I was like, you can host the conference here.
It's terrible. The layout.
It's not open. Yeah.
No.
And guess who designed the layout?
Your cousin.
My brother-in-law.
This is unbelievable. I can't hit the table anymore. I get trouble from the producer, but I am just so shocked that your brother-in-law built such an amazing hotel. Did he even think that did he know where TLU is going to be owning it for 5 days a year when he built it, when he designed it?
Nope. And he was in there. He's like, this looks very familiar. And he designed it. Yeah, well, because he's in like a high-level interior designer, worked at the biggest companies, and then now he joined our firm, so...
Look at you. Now you're going to have a fashionable office too.
No.
Stylish.
No. There's certain things that are unfixable.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I love when Mo comes over and gives me decorating advice at my house. I'm just like, dude, shut up. I've seen where you live, okay? The last person you should ever do is give advice on home decor. You're the last person. As much as I love you, last person. That's okay though. No home decor advice.
Everyone has their flaws.
It's not flaws. You just have limitations.
You have disabilities.
You have a disability. Yeah. Style's not one of them because
That's why I haven't gotten out of this yet, because people are like, this is stylish. And I'm like, okay.
Wear it every day.
Just stick with it then.
That's right. That's right. You got a different TLU shirt for every day. You're the second most.
This is my favorite one.
I know. You're the second most TLU brand committed person, so I appreciate it. I'm number one still.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Yet. Every day? Every day?
My wife is like, what the hell? Like, she's like, when I first married you, you were wearing a suit. You scammed me, and now you don't wear suits. I'm like, only in court.
That's right. Only in court.
When it's game day, girl.
And she's game like, day. And then we finished off, too, by having brunch. My buddy Scott Frost hosted brunch on Sunday, June 7th.
We had I was there.
45 people there.
It was awesome.
You know, I thought we'd have a little bit more than that.
And I learned something new that day. Coffee cake doesn't actually have coffee in it.
Were you able to eat it because there was no caffeine?
No coffee.
No coffee.
I don't like the bitter taste of coffee. It's like dessert is dessert and coffee is coffee. They're two separate.
They combined them now.
I'm kind of like racist in that sense. Like with desserts, it's like don't mix the sweets with the bitter.
Wow. It's big of you to be able to admit that here on the podcast. People usually try to hide their prejudice and their racism.
I'm very vulnerable around you, Dan.
It's good that you feel like you can open up, Mo. I appreciate that. So you taught a class on a workshop on what?
I did a workshop on demonstratives for trial, bringing your case to life at trial, communicating the story with metaphors, with props, with whatever it takes, and using the classroom itself. Michael Carter, who's with our firm now, got tons of verdicts and settlements. He also said, use the you yourself are a demonstrative.
Of course you are.
And that's what we learned at TOU boot camp. And so in a wrongful death case, he said, I put the casket, you know, in a somber, you got to do it in a credible way, somber way. And he's like, I put it there and I never violate that space, you know? And so that's what we learned about thinking about metaphors for your case and demonstratives and how to present it.
Okay. And how many people were in your workshop?
It was packed. In the presidential suite. I guess the TLU swag paid off.
See?
That was badass.
You guys, if you wear TLU swag every day, you do your workshop in the president's suite. Would you have about a dozen people there?
Yep.
That's a good number.
And we actually worked on their cases.
So that's the whole point.
Yeah.
So work on their cases, not to have a 3-hour lecture for 12 people. That's what's, you know, that's what I'd like to hear. Casework being done.
Yeah.
And then you had a pretty packed room for yours and Mo's lecture.
And Hani. It was Hani.
You're Mo. Ray. Ray, Hani, and you.
Yeah, Ray and Hani were like the real workhorse. I was just the eye candy for the lecture.
That's
I
way
brought
always
the people
is,
in, you know?
That's what I am at TLU.
Yeah.
All my people that work around me, Rose
Unfortunately,
and Noel,
people kind of picked up on that. They're like, Muhammad, you were saying it's important to do all this work, and then you just showed the people that actually did it. I was like, guilty.
Yeah, you got to learn how to delegate. Yeah. Duh. Can't do it all yourself. Can't be the just, you know, hog all the attention.
Yeah.
So what was your lecture about?
It was about putting pressure on the defense to get the information, but not just relying on the defense. You know, a lot of our cases involve public entities, directly or indirectly, through, you know, police reports, ambulance, fire, incident reports, the district attorney if there's a criminal case. And so it was using every aspect and putting pressure, because even the city governments and state governments and federal governments, they either choice or out of just incompetence, they don't give you everything at first try. So we just went through about how to go about it, how to go after them, and how not to be discouraged, and how to push. So I think that was very helpful. And then we obviously have the sample documents and stuff that people can use, so they don't feel like they're starting from scratch.
That's helpful, because that's why, you know, when with the TLU On Demand, and by the way, if you don't have TLU On Demand and you're listening to this podcast, you can text me at 248-808-3130 or send me an email at dan@trialawyersuniversity.com. I'll give you a 30-day trial subscription of it. And all the lectures will be edited and put up by around the first of July. You know, Rose is working on editing and putting them together. And so you can check out all the stuff you missed at TLU Beach for actually no cost at all and get all the great learning. Because it wasn't just, you know, your presentations, but Panish came down while still in trial on Saturday. How great was that? And
wow,
talked
his
about
foot, the busted foot and
with
everything.
With the busted foot and everything. And talked
that
about,
guy's committed to the game.
You know, that guy, out of all the greats, nobody is his level of commitment. He still trains.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just finishing up that trial today on the punitives. I'm sure. I mean, he got like $160 million of compensatory. And
$176 million, but no one's counting.
Is that what it was? And in Van Nuys, like not a great jurisdiction for plaintiff's lawyers. And he's been at that trial for about a month and a half, just every day. I talked to him, and, you know, he told me he's real, real ill, and he was in the bathroom. He's like, you know, actually vomiting during lunch. And the next day, he called me, like, Ambrose, you know, guess where I'm at? I'm like, the hospital? He's like, yeah, they made me come here. I'm like, what a nut. And then the next day, I'm like, how you feeling? He's like, not so great. I'm like, where you at? He's like, where the fuck do you think I'm at? I'm like, court? He's like, on my way. No days off, Ambrose. Let's fucking go. I'm like, that's literally him. Like, literally, in trial, broken ribs.
With a
boot on. He has no, there is no excuses. And people are always like, who's the GOAT?
It's a little bit bigger, though, you know.
Yeah, but it's like, and there's so many great trial lawyers that come to TLU, but, you know, I always say Panish is the GOAT because he tries more variety of cases than anybody else. And, you know, people, how about Lanier? I'm like, Lanier's a great trial lawyer. Don't get me wrong. But Lanier tries one case a year, one every 2 years. Panish tries 6-10 cases a year.
One time he did it simultaneous.
I didn't even know about that. See? Yeah. But also, he has a team of trial lawyers around him. The, you know, Ravapudi, Lucas, Shea.
Spencer.
Rudor for that's Spencer Lucas.
Oh, okay. Spencer Lucas. Sorry.
You didn't know his last name. That's okay.
I did. I didn't Lucas. Know
that's
his last
okay.
name.
That's okay. But anyways, he's got at least a half a dozen trial lawyers around him who also have eight-figure verdicts. And to be able to build a team like that, coach a team like that, and keep the team together.
That works it up too, like Erica Contreras and whatnot. Geez. Just peppers the other side with motions.
Course. He's got every level covered. That way he can be the guy.
And they're all students. They all show up to TLU. Rahul was there, chopped it up with them on Saturday, I think, or Friday.
Stopped by on Friday.
Friday, yeah.
Now Rahul's great. We're doing, I'm doing a boot camp with him. I'm not sure the date, but I think it's like near the end of October. We got a boot camp. Michael Cowan did a couple workshops with his partner, Peacock. That was her first time there. I think
Cowan had a good time. We used him in our lecture too because
he had a great time. Yeah. He was so excited. I'm doing a boot camp with him on trucking. I got one coming up with Joe Fried and Camerlengo in December. We're going back to Cabo. Was that the greatest time ever? Cabo. Going back to Cabo in December. Were you in Cabo last year?
Of course you were. I was in December. And I don't like Cabo, but I enjoyed it. I think it's the people that make it work.
You think?
It's the people that.
I think
anywhere. You could be anywhere.
Anywhere with the right people and you're having a great time.
Shout out to Johnny Bond and Alejandro Giorgio and Shemek.
Johnny Bond taught cross-examination of my the TLU skills. And I talked to a couple of students in his classes and I was talking to him and I was this AC Parnum. She's a younger lawyer from South Carolina.
And she's part Colombian. Or no, Panamanian.
Okay, I wouldn't be surprised. But
she's cool.
South Carolina. Cool girl, TLU. She was just so excited about it. She's going to come to the deposition program in February with Philip Miller. But she said, out of the blue, she said, and Johnny Bond was the best. I learned so much in that class. I'm like, that's so dope. That was his first time teaching that. She's like, no way. It was so professional. I'm like, yeah, well, we worked real hard the week before.
Johnny Bond works really hard.
We work real hard. And plus, I got to make sure that people that are teaching are, dialed in. And I heard so many great things about Giorgio and his witness prep and direct from so many people.
Yeah, there's no wing in it.
August 24th through 28th, Satch Oliver has come all the way from Arkansas to right here to Hermosa Beach to TLU Beach House. And we're going to be teaching a 5-day Depositions Are Trial boot camp. You're going to be working on your cases. Satch is going to be working with you on your cases. So not only are you going to transform your case, but at the end of the day, it becomes a case expense because your case is going to get that much better. This program is limited to 10 participants. So if you want to come, get registered today. We'll see you right here.
So Dan, what the heck is après-ski?
Well, Mo, a lot of people ask me, what's après-ski? And they're confused. And I don't want people to be confused when they come to TLU. So this is après-ski. It's a creative day. Some people put on, a pair of ski goggles. I got my white fur coat, my kick-ass glasses. I was able to repurpose the 80s tracksuit party glasses, the cowboy hat, which of course has TLU on the side. See it right there?
Nice.
That's classy. I got that from the Panish conference because they got nice swag there too. And, this is it. This is après-ski. That was the Saturday night party. And it was a hit. So that's what we got. But now we got to talk about this, Mo, and that is the new TLU long sleeves that we gave about 700 of them away.
Damn, those are cool.
I got a blue one. Look at this.
I got the gray one.
See that? And this one's got a hood on it, too. This is what we call a hoodie. You ever heard of a hoodie?
Oh, yeah. I always wear them so I don't scare the
children. Yep. That will show everybody what it's got. But don't be just throw that. This is a transition. Now, look at that. And these
are great. I usually charge to get unclothed, but
I get it. And you should, because you're a handsome fella and you've been working out.
Thank you.
But, and these were very, because we had the 80s tracksuit dinner party. And
this is not a hoodie.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
This one's
but there were some people, it's only, it's called the quarter zip. There were some people that showed up to the 80s tracksuit party when it had a tracksuit confirmation. Like, you must bring a tracksuit. And they gave me some lame ass excuse or like they just heard about it. And, I felt bad for them. And I bent my rules a little bit. So I gave them the substitute TLU long sleeve quarter zip.
From the bougie brand Aloe.
Oh, yeah. It's close. Man. Not Aloe, but it feels the same as Aloe.
Says Aloe on there.
Well, hey, buddy. Guess what? Not everybody.
So you gave me the crappier one? Lululemon? Is this downgrade?
There you go. Don't you worry about it, buddy.
All right.
The good news is everybody got their new swag, which is important.
That's very important.
That's what
shout counts. Out to the Wacker Law Group that they had the badass.
Dude, they came
swag.
Correct.
Yeah, and Intaker too.
They came correct. They put
my wife got jealous because I was just like, you know.
They had velour with rhinestones. No, Ted Wacker. We had the Ted Wacker golf outing with Tavern, you know, and Eve hosted, you know, co-hosted the Satchel Oliver Wild West party. And and Finch did the opening dinner party. I mean, so many.
And they had the sugar cookies.
Amazing sugar cookies and all the bags. Those things were like sugar crack.
Yeah.
Oh man, I ate way too many of those. I was testing them out. I'm a sampler because I'm the dessert chef.
Quality control.
The desserts were amazing. The food was amazing. Everybody raved about it.
Yeah, the food's always top notch at TLU.
Yeah, man, we can't fuck. You know, we don't mess around when it comes to feeding people. Because after the first TLU in 2021, Joe Freese said, "I said, Joe, how was the conference?" I'm thinking he's going to just tell me how great I am. He said, "Can I be honest with you?" I'm like, "Fuck, lie to me. Don't ask that question." And then he's like, "Dan, you got to feed the people. People are hungry."
And you're a man of the people.
I'm a man of the people. I said, Joe, that costs a lot of money. These hotels, they think it's like free for all. It comes to you. He goes, Dan, that's not my problem. That's your problem.
Dan,
you need to solve that problem, Dan Ambrose, if you're going to host people.
Problem.
You got to be able to host people. And so
that's like when you get dumped and they say it's not me.
No, it was great because this was the first year ever and the first conference I've ever been to where we served people at dinner every night. Every night, nobody was hungry. And I was really proud of that because...
coffee bar was legit too.
Yeah, because I take my hosting duties very serious. Oh,
you do.
You were talking about the new bags too. Let me show everybody these.
Don't show me. I'm going to steal another one.
Nope, look at that. The new TLU bags.
These are so
badass. Guess what else? Guess what showed up?
They finally showed up.
Customs. Nice. I think Trump held these up in customs just to fuck with us.
I use these for my flight training. I use these for trial prep.
Yep.
And I actually use them because it's good to write. I know we AI everything, but use a notebook, write, even if you're later going to type it, you know, take a picture of it and send it to some AI, whatever, but write down things because that's how you remember things.
So that's right.
Write. Don't forget to write. Don't be a robot.
I told Finch, I said,
these are cool. I love these.
Your notebooks didn't show up, but guess what? We're going to be bringing them around to all the conferences and giving them away. So we're going to Lanier. I'm headed to Lanier. Next, in like 10 days, probably a few days after this thing comes out, but I'll be down in Lanier and I'll have 500 of these badass notebooks to hand out. Plus, I got some dope ass sweat.
The boxed lunch Lanier conference.
Yeah, we don't do boxed lunches. They're doing the best they can. He's trying to save money. It's for us, it's for a charity.
Oh, for charity.
For charity. They don't feed us there, that's okay.
Or Guatemala or something.
Yeah, at TLU, the charity starts with home. With the students attending there, we feed them so they could save their money and invest in their cases. So
and with the law students too.
Oh, the law students too. That's a charity thing. Oh, I forgot to show the new TLU mugs. That was a room drop for the people at the Paseo.
That would be perfect for the coffee bar at the TLU.
There we go. Here you go. But
yeah, there's no stone left unturned at the TLU Beach Conference.
We're not playing games here, but we're getting ready for 2025, and we're going back to the Paseo.
2027.
It's 2027. See that? It's brain injury. Be able to do all this with a brain injury, too.
Maybe by next year we can go back in time. If I could, I would, because that was a badass conference.
I know. I wouldn't mind reliving that conference. It was the funnest time, the funnest 5 days of my life, you know, from Tuesday afternoon to Sunday morning. Couldn't be more grateful for all the people that came. And
hey, and shout out to you, Dan, and your team, your sister, Noelle, everyone. I mean, as homely as you guys make it, you also made it very professional, too, which is very hard balance. As trial lawyers, that's what we try to do. We try to bring professionalism, but also the compassion and the you know, we don't want to be corporate with our clients. We want to be real human beings. So you guys balance that. Very few conferences can do that. It's very professional, but also felt like home.
Well,
so you know, congrats to you. I feel
who
like,
I
you know,
am. It's
unlike Joe Freed, I'm not going to say, can I be honest with you for a second? Because you did improve. So thank you, Joe Freed, for that, because the food was amazing. Everything was amazing. Honestly, I have no complaints about the conference.
Well, there was a few glitches, but they were behind the scenes. Nobody noticed them. But I'll have those fixed next year. And next year, it's going to be bigger and better. And, you know, better instructors. You get Sagi Shaketa and his masterclass on TBI.
The only thing I think of is, like, how to make it better. Maybe, like, live masseuse. There was actually a massage therapist.
There was a massage therapist, too.
I don't know what else to do.
I'm just trying to outthink everybody. But anybody has any suggestions?
We'll figure out something.
I'm going to call. We're going to get on the phone bank, call everybody up. Make sure they had a great time and see what suggestions they have, because we are constant We're never satisfied, constantly improving.
Just like trial.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to learn from what we did here, and we do better next year. And my goal is to, you know, kind of blow people away every year. I say, man, that was an amazing conference when they left last year. I that was the best thing I ever been to. And so many people told me that, like, you know, and it's a great feeling because, you know, you work your ass off. It's like getting a great verdict. You work your ass off.
And it shows in the result.
Put the time in and deliver.
It's not an accident.
No. No, success is
it's
not
a collision.
Accident. It's a collision. Mo, everybody knows how to get a hold of me, but I always get these texts and emails. How do I get a hold of your buddy Mo? He's very elusive.
I'm usually hanging out here at the beach house or in the plane with Dan Ambrose. So
that's smart of you.
Yeah. No, ma@cremontilop.com or you can text me up on my cell. Don't call me because I have it always on silent. 310-948-7226. And if you're a lady or an attractive male, don't text me after 6 p.m. because my wife will get jealous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good, Mo. Thank you for joining us. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.